Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, the Colts are leaning in here after a massive trade for Sauce Gardner at the trade deadline. Pearl, the Indianapolis Colts are not shying away from the new expectations. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. It's better off to do it this way, right? When you make a big blockbuster trade like this, and then, you know, you talk to the powers that be on the team, you can't say, well, it's just another day. It's not another day. You got to be excited about what they did. And the question I think now, which is on everyone's mind, is are the Colts going to be able to make good on this? Are they actually a Super Bowl contender? Because I don't think you can make this move with your record at 7-2 and say, oh, we're just doing this because we're excited to, you know, win a playoff game. You have to have way bigger goals in mind.
Yeah, but which is why I'm a little confused by how much they gave up for Sauce Gardner, because I know the quote-unquote AFC is down. They keep most weeks get their butt kicked by the NFC.
Yep.
But you look at this conference, you understand who they would have to beat to get to the Super Bowl. Not even win the Super Bowl, to get to the Super Bowl. They would probably have to beat Baltimore, Buffalo, and or Kansas City. And I, you know, Sauce Gardner might be a top five cornerback. Why would that addition make you think he could be Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs? Like, where would that thinking come from? Because I have not seen anything in this Colts team that says, I know they're good, but that level of elite, you know how hard, yes, you do, you're a Bills fan.
Yes.
Do you know how hard it is to knock off Mahomes? The Colts don't look that close to the Super Bowl at all to me. Tell me, what am I missing here?
Okay, well, here's the thing, because obviously now that I've had a little time for this to sink in, I'm like, geez, the Colts would not really, they would match up great against the Bills. They kind of do everything that Buffalo has a tough time stopping. And you might be able to say that ditto for the Ravens. By the way, the Ravens first have to make the playoffs. They're still digging themselves out of a pretty ridiculous hole. And for Kansas City, who, if the playoffs started today, would not be in the playoffs. But I think what they're looking at is saying, all right, is this about Sauce Gardner? Doesn't have to be Darrelle Revis. He doesn't need an island because we've got, Charvarius Ward, who's going to be coming back from concussion at some point, we believe,
yep.
Right? He's on IR now. And you also have, you know, Kenny Moore. Like, you have guys in that back end and Cam Bynum. You have dudes who are recognizable and who are effective defensive players. And that also helps, you know, when you have a great secondary, it helps your pass rush. It helps every part of your defense. So I don't think Sauce Gardner even has to come in and be the savior necessarily. It's just the trade compensation was so gigantic. He's obviously going to have tons of pressure on him. And by the way, Sauce is in concussion protocol. He got knocked out of that Jets-Bengals game, but because the Jets were on a bye week, he never could like pass concussion protocol. So he didn't even talk to the media yesterday, because you can't if you're in concussion protocol. Now they're about to go to Germany to play the Falcons. And I get they are all saying we are expecting him to play on Sunday.
So something scared me in the Pittsburgh game last week for the Colts.
Okay, what's up?
First of all, they were outdoors, so that's immediately a problem.
But it wasn't even a weather game.
But no, but it's grass, and it's okay. Something's different. I mean, they just move fat. First of all, Jonathan Taylor's amazing, but in part because you have to really worry about their receivers in Indianapolis. But Jonathan Taylor ran 14 times for 45 yards against the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are bad against the run. The Steelers can be run all over. So there does seem to be games where Jonathan Taylor is not Superman. And if that happens, then all of a sudden Daniel Jones starts turning the ball over. And the defense looks more vulnerable too, because Jonathan Taylor obviously keeps it away from the other team. So they are so reliant on him. And we know these big running backs. Saquon Barkley carried the Eagles through the NFC playoffs, but I'm not sure I can count on him. Think about a big game against Kansas City in the playoffs. Do you think that Andy Reid and crew and Steve Spagnuolo is going to let Jonathan Taylor go off on them? I don't know. I just think that's a lot to count on. He's great. There is no doubt. I think his MVP talk is well-deserved, but I don't know that I can trust that run game. Like, it has to be an A-plus for all those other things to work.
Yeah, you're right about that, but let's also look at it this way. The Indianapolis Colts had 5 turnovers in the game against Pittsburgh on the road, as you mentioned, outside. They still only lost by a score. Now, it didn't feel like it. It felt like Pittsburgh was in control. But
they were in it late. They were in it late. I'll give you that.
Yeah. I mean, and that's like kind of as bad as it can get. You know, Jonathan Stewart, it can't get anywhere. Daniel Jones is a liability, and they still were right in that game. You know, you turn the ball over 5 times, you should lose 40-10. You know, if you're playing against a really good team. Now, the Steelers defense did look much, much better in that game. But, I mean, that was actually, maybe you could squint and see that as a positive for the Colts.
Wow. The Steelers ran the ball 23 times for 38 yards. They have their own problems. They're so conservative on offense. They kept the Colts in that game. But, yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. The Colts, however, are 7-2, but they've had a lot of really, really close wins.
Can I just also point something out? Okay, sorry. We can talk Super Bowl in a moment, because I do think that you do something like this because you think you're a Super Bowl contender.
Right.
But the other 7-2 team in the AFC is the Denver Broncos, who we're going to see tonight. Yep. They're hosting the Las Vegas Raiders Thursday Night Football. Can I just give you the odds for the conference winner of the AFC?
Please.
Not the future you get the Super Bowl, conference winner. So you got Buffalo plus 300 and the Chiefs at plus 320. Indy is next at plus 450, and the Broncos are after that at plus 700. They think there is a cliff between Indianapolis and Denver. And it's funny to me, now the Colts are being put, you're like, can they really beat Buffalo, and can they really beat Kansas City? Well, I mean, Vegas is kind of telling you that, yes, they are in that top 3 most dangerous teams in the AFC.
Well, I think Denver and Indianapolis, if they play in the playoffs, that will come down to the last minute, and that will be a Bo Nix situation.
Well, it has to be. I forgot also the Patriots are 7-2, but they're plus a third. They're 10-1 to win the AFC.
The Patriots have this crazy easy schedule, and they could get a very high seed. I think all those teams are right there. The Colts are not going to win easily. I mean, they have so many close wins. For example, that Denver game, they should have lost in week 2. We've talked about that many times. They barely beat the Cardinals, who are kind of salty, so I get that. Then they blow out a team like the Titans. That proves nothing to me.
Yeah, they've gotten to play the Titans twice.
Yeah, and they played the Raiders. I just think that their schedule has been a little confusing. Honestly, my gut reaction when they made that all-in trade for Sauce Gardner, I'm like, God, I don't feel this team is all-in. I'm having trouble getting my head around that.
I think I know why. It's the Daniel Jones factor. It's something like, and we're humans, and sometimes you have to see it to believe it. And Daniel Jones is not this new guy on the block, right? He's new for Indy, but he's been in our lives now since, the 2019 draft? He's been around, and you've never, except for one playoff game in Minnesota, which he was really good in, but Minnesota was not what the record said they were that year. They were much more vulnerable. He's never been able to be consistent. And by the way, Jonathan Taylor, same thing. Awesome, awesome running back. But he's had health issues, and he's gotten banged up in seasons too. So I think that's what's holding me back. I'm like, is Daniel Jones really going to beat Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs? On what planet is that happening?
Yeah, that's a great question.
Yeah.
The answer would, I think, be no. It's really, they're 7-2, by the way. This is such a tricky game. And it's in Germany, or where is this?
It's in Germany.
Yeah, I know it's a Sunday morning game. Atlanta, you have no idea what team you're going to face on any given day, even on this continent. Who knows what's going to happen over there? And then you mentioned the tough schedule coming up. Bye, which is good. At Kansas City in week 12, that is a monster game.
Yep.
Because they have a chance to knock Kansas City out of the playoffs. And if I was the Colts, I would highly suggest doing that. But I can't see Daniel Jones winning outdoors at Kansas City. I'm telling you, their 2 losses are on the road, Maggie. That's the thing. Maybe they said, we got to get the number 1 seed to stay indoors throughout this playoffs. I just don't, it's a cliche. I don't trust dome teams outside in the cold in the playoffs. I don't trust the Dolphins either. I don't trust warm weather teams. I don't trust anybody except Kansas City and Buffalo and Baltimore, as long as they're not playing either of those 2 teams.
Yeah, but you don't even trust Lamar Jackson in the cold weather.
And the numbers are bad.
Yeah, I think the other part of it, I was thinking about the flip side of this, is that can Kansas City and Buffalo go inside and kind of match the speed of the Colts? And
I think the answer Josh Allen in a dome sounds terrifying.
Well, I'd love to see it. I would.
Yeah, I can't remember a lot of indoor games for him because he plays in the AFC East.
And every single game, important game that's happened in the last 7 years in the AFC has happened in Kansas City.
Yeah, I was about to say, and also he plays Patrick Mahomes 7 times a year, so
it's one-on-one.
When you think about, like, what's your first thought about Josh Allen? Now picture him in a dome, it doesn't fit. We got to pull his numbers. He has really not played a lot of indoor games.
Here is Daniel Jones talking about Sauce Gardner, obviously the big blockbuster trade, and we're asking you today, Colts contender, pretender this season, because it's like, we see the talent on paper. Pearl, you love Shane Steichen. It just felt like we were 5 minutes ago. This team was actually doing a quarterback battle between Anthony Richardson and Daniel Jones. Like 5 minutes ago, this was a team that was cycling through quarterbacks in a way where it was like 2 for 1. Like, I'm like, are you guys getting this on sale? Where are these quarterbacks coming
from? Anthony who? What?
Yeah, I know.
And that feels like a decade ago. Oh my God, you're right. They did have Anthony Richardson, and he was in the QB battle. Now they're fully committed to Daniel Jones. I heard somebody bring up an interesting point. Why didn't they just trade Anthony Richardson in the Jets deal yesterday?
Oh, I wonder if the Jets were like, we're good. I mean, what are you going to do with Anthony Richardson? And he's got like the issue with his eye now, right? Because he got
hit, right.
Exercise,
he's not
man.
Healthy. Yep.
All right. Daniel Jones on the Sauce Gardner trade says the front office believes the Colts can do big things this year.
Obviously, they believe in our team and what we can do this year. You know, we've played well. There's still a lot in front of us, and we've got to go continue to improve and play well week to week. But as players, and you see that movement from ownership, from management and the coaches, I think, definitely gives you confidence.
Yeah, I mean, not exactly a Super Bowl guarantee there, but you're not going to really get that from a guy like DJ. Yes, Manny, you're getting flashbacks.
What a life. Imagine asking me 3 years ago, 2 years ago, that Ahmad, Sauce Gardner, and Danny Dimes Jones would be on the same team. I would have told you to stop smoking crack.
Yeah. Well, here they are.
Oh, what a life.
Yeah. And probably in better shape than your team.
I can't believe,
By the way, Josh Allen's played 9 games in a dome, according to sportsreference.com. Can you guess in the straight dome?
Yeah, Houston have been bad.
Yeah. Can you guess his record in 9 games?
So Houston, I know he's in the playoffs 0-1. They blew a 14-point lead, I believe. Are you saying, is this regular season and postseason?
I think it's regular season. I was about to say, I'm sorry. I think this is how regular season is.
Okay, well, he's definitely not good in Houston. That's a tough place for him to play for some reason. Yeah. Where else would he have played at home?
Yeah, I don't, he only has 9 games in about a 6-year career or even longer. He's 8-1.
He won a game there, right?
Where?
Minnesota
is Dallas is not a dome, but I know on a Christmas or Thanksgiving where he played in Dallas, and that was kind of like the Josh Allen arrives game, and I think that the roof was closed.
Well, I cheated a little bit because he's 3-4 in a retractable roof. So you were probably thinking, I guess it's pretty much the same thing. But he's Josh Allen, that's the other thing too. They, to me, feel like they will struggle if they go to a cold weather game because they're used to playing in a dome. But Mahomes and Josh Allen can play indoors. That doesn't scare me at all. Mahomes obviously has been fantastic indoors in the Super Bowl, so we know that's not going to scare him.
It's the run game for me because for Buffalo, I think it's the run game. I think for Indianapolis, it's the pass rush. Like you saw what the Bills were able to do to harass Patrick Mahomes in this last game. When the Chiefs didn't really have their run game going, the Bills were kind of able to tee off. Like Joey Bosa had a good game, and there were guys injured for Buffalo, and they still kind of made Mahomes a bit uncomfortable.
Oh, very uncomfortable.
So the Colts, I think, could probably replicate that if the Chiefs don't have a run game, because the Colts have a good defensive line and now just got a lot better on the back end. And then on the flip side, so that would maybe be their advantage against Kansas City. And the advantage against Buffalo is Jonathan Taylor could run for 200 yards against them. I mean, that's possible if the Bills don't get healthier in the interior. Yeah. Ed Oliver is out indefinitely. They've got some really big dudes who are missing right now.
Well, I mean, listen.
Maybe they'll be back.
It's Lou Anarumo, former Bengals defensive coordinator for the Colts, who obviously knows the formula for beating the Chiefs. I think that was part of this calculation,
Are we
too.
Talking ourselves into the Colts? I think we are.
No, except for Daniel Jones. I'm not. Because they're 7-2, but this 7-2 is shaky to me. And it's going to get, it's so hard. They have the 6th hardest schedule going on. I'm fading the Colts.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. So Indianapolis suddenly got a lot more interesting. How about Indy, center of the sports world? Remember when Caitlin Clark was like everything we talked about all the time? She plays there.
Yeah.
Well, does she?
She did play there.
The Pacers made the finals last year.
They're one and seven. I don't remember that.
I know.
Tyrese Halliburton
made like a million game-winning plays.
Don't remember that either.
Yeah, you might want to erase that from your hard drive. And now look at the Colts.
Well, none of those things that you said have resulted in anything good. Caitlin Clark basically missed the entire season this year.
No, team still made the playoffs and won a couple rounds.
Woohoo! Wait, did you say Kurt Cignani, by the way, too?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, we got
Indianapolis.
It's Indy adjacent.
No, but that is an Indiana Hoosiers. I got to imagine everyone in Indianapolis went to the University of Indiana. They could root for them.
I think it's true. I think you're right.
Yeah,
but regional. She said Indy's having a moment. I don't think you can include Cignetti.
I think there are a lot of fans. So I think that'll change. I mean, listen, there's never been a moment. You're right. And also, I think Pat McAfee's show is part of the reason why. Because all those people you just mentioned all storm on the show. When has Indianapolis been a media hub?
I think this is Butler erasure.
Mm. Oh, well. Well, we're not here for that.
Wait, say it again?
Butler is Indianapolis' school.
That you're trying to erase Butler from...
Yeah, this is Butler erasure. Gordon Hayward and Brad Stevens are rolling over in their grave.
This is, we're bringing back the, is Penn State a Philadelphia school?
Oh, God.
Because...
I don't want to do that.
If 70% of the people who went to college in your city went to one college... Because it's a state school. Then it is a popular school.
Wait, can I bring up another thing? Remember that whole Mark Sanchez debacle? Also downtown Indy. Indy's having a moment, for better or for worse.
But to Maggie's point, again, not a good thing.
Yeah, none of these things are good, man.
That's an all publicity good... Well, no.
Caitlin Clark is still positive. I know she'll
Caitlin's
be back.
Caitlin's positive. The Pacers, I didn't love that they booed Miles Turner's tribute video the other day.
Like 1-6?
They're 1-8 now, yeah, man. But, and they still
guys,
don't have
this is an off year. They'll be back.
They're still in the glow.
Are they
playing in the finals?
This feels like Maggie. It feels like your slump buster argument. Where you're trying to make this spin this to a good thing.
Yeah, the slump buster has to officially be dead because the dumb Dodgers won back to back, and the Florida Panthers won back to back.
No, it's a back to back year. When do we ever have back to back champions?
That should have been your take.
Ah, but you Rory. Missed. It started with Rory McIlroy.
I hope it's a football back to back. Fly, Eagles, fly on the way to victory.
Twice he's made this by Philadelphia.
I mean, technically.
I told you guys back in February that this would be an awful thing for all of us, for society.
It has been bad.
Yeah.
Philadelphia winning anything is terrible for society, but except for that Revolutionary War, that was really good for us.
Yeah, that was good.
That was a positive.
Yeah, thanks for that.
But I got to be honest, if you're unless you're an NFC North fan or something, or an AFC South, Indianapolis is likable. Who doesn't like Indianapolis? It's right in the middle of the country. They have great steakhouses.
Their signature dish is a shrimp cocktail. The nearest ocean is 3,000 miles away.
I love Indy. I don't know why. I've always loved that town. It's very friendly to visit.
It's a convention town.
It's a convention town, right, because it's so close to Chicago. And, I don't know, Peyton Manning had a place there. There's a lot going on.
Yeah, so did Marvin Harrison.
They basically named the stadium after him and a children's hospital, I think.
Right, even after he left, my point was Peyton Manning still is engaged with the city. Marvin Harrison's Mr. Philadelphia. Unfortunately, we're trying to distance ourselves from that one. Kind of might have shot a guy.
yeah, he basically runs North Philly.
You better throw some allegedly's in front of there because I don't want Marvin Harrison Sr. coming to bust down the door.
I have to Google that story. I don't know if there was an allegedly.
Something happened at a car wash. Now we're just doing this all off the top of the head.
You hear that, Jonathan Gannon? You better get his son the ball.
Yeah, seriously. And you know what? He's speaking out against Arizona. And Arizona, talking about teams that usually don't make a ton of headlines, Indianapolis Colts would be one of them. Now they're kind of center of the sports world. They get the standalone game, even though it's a 9:30 a.m. Eastern game, 6:30 Pacific in Germany. And how about Arizona? The Cardinals are crazy right now. We'll get to the latest with them. We also have some Cowboys news for you after they made a big trade for Quinnen Williams. What a day.
We should have a show when it gets cold outside where we only talk about dome teams. North Dakota State, by the way, apparently they have a hot quarterback, too, who I have not paid attention to, but he's like getting all the draft buzz. So dome team Thursday, when it gets cold out.
Catch the fever, everybody.
And Maggie, of course, wanted her Buffalo Bills. They're building a new stadium. You're still disappointed that's not a dome.
What a missed opportunity. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Lots to do, but you can weigh in. Are the Indianapolis Colts a contender pretender? Is Indianapolis suddenly sports mecca? And we have a lot of drama going on with Arizona and with the Cowboys. Stick around. It's the Maggie and Perloff Show.
Kyler Murray.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, welcome back, Maggie and Perloff. We started the show talking about the 7-2 Colts. Let's talk about a losing team who actually is pretty good, by the way. The Arizona Cardinals have looked really, really good until the last 5 minutes of every game this year. But now there is a lot of drama. And I got to be honest, it's hard to make sense of, Maggie, what they're doing at the quarterback position.
Yeah, this is a perfect kind of story for people like me who are skeptical, always got a raised eyebrow, think that there's things going on behind the scenes that somebody doesn't want to tell you about. And this Arizona Kyler Murray story has got all of that, because Murray obviously is dealing with some kind of injury. And he was limited last week, although there was a thought maybe he was trending towards playing. He was questionable on Wednesday and Thursday. Mm-hmm. Before then, he was all of a sudden shows up in street clothes on Monday night against the Dallas Cowboys, right? And Jacoby Brissett is out there. And they're being really cagey about it. Now he goes from questionable 4 days ago to IR.
Mm-hmm.
And for people like me who are super skeptical, not only is this signal the end of the Kyler Murray era, but I don't think you need to be a genius for that. I wonder if there's a thing where there's injury guarantees in his contract, and the last thing they want is for him to go out, get hurt, and then all of a sudden now some injury guarantee kicks in, and they owe him even more money than they already owe him.
Yeah, I mean, that makes a lot of sense.
But I'm just being a skeptic.
Can I share a quote from Jonathan Gannon, the head coach?
Sure.
That might change your mind. Okay. Where he sits right now, talking about Kyler Murray, he has to pour into his health bucket and get ready and get healthy. So he's got to pour into his health bucket, Maggie.
Yeah,
have you thought about that? What kind of speak is that? That's not NFL speak. That's like new age kind of guru stuff.
For some reason, when he says pour into the health bucket, I see like someone just like taking a leak in the janitor's like mop bucket. Yeah, I don't know what that means. I don't know what that means. Did Justin Bieber do that once?
No,
pour into the health bucket.
But let's not forget the reality here that Jacoby Brissett runs this offense maybe 5 times better than Kyler Murray does. He's on schedule. He is finding receivers. I mean, Jacoby Brissett is talented. He always has been talented. He's got a big arm. He can move. It just wasn't quite there to be elite level quarterback with Brissett, but he does things that Murray is not doing consistently, mainly running the offense.
So this has been my thought about Kyler Murray. First of all, let's try baseball. And Pete McCarthy's with us this morning, and he's a big baseball guy. And I know that Pete would love to see some Kyler Murray playing shortstop for the soon to be Las Vegas A's. But before we get to Pete, two things. One, Kyler Murray could end up being this like embarrassing story where he had to get it written in his contract that he had to study more and that he was playing video games too much. He's kind of the butt of the joke. But think about if he goes and plays baseball and then would all of a sudden become like this cool two sport.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he's not Bo Jackson, obviously, or Dion. But
if he was good, he'd be in that conversation.
But to be quarterback and then do that, this is like Russell Wilson, Danny Cannell. Like but these guys were not number one overall picks, right?
But there's never been a guy who was top 10 in both sports. Kyler Murray was drafted way higher than anybody else.
Yeah, exactly. Like
Drew Henson was pretty elite, I think.
Like Chris Winkie, like these guys who played baseball and also played quarterback.
What's that guy?
Brandon Whedon.
Brandon Whedon, right.
You got a couple crossovers, but this would be a cool way for Murray to like get back into like being relevant in sports.
Yeah, no concussions. That makes a lot of sense. Probably a ton of money. You know, he could do those instead of angry toddler running down the field, he'd be running.
Turning double plays,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah, I love the way Kyler Murray runs. It's always the same. It's just like scamper. The guy scampers, but he looks like he'd be a pretty great baseball player. That's a great save. I don't think he'll do it though, because he is good enough at NFL quarterback. It's hard to let go of being a quarterback. There's a lot of glory in that position.
Yeah, and obviously a lot of money, but I just can't see the team, because I know the New York Jets, there was a lot of thought about, oh, maybe that would be a landing spot, and I don't think the Jets fans want anything to do with Kyler Murray. This is all about these draft picks now, yeah, and the five picks in the next 2 years. But so I don't know if Kyler Murray is going to find a home very easily, but can I just do the flip side of this? And I maintain this. Arizona's a sleeping giant for a good quarterback to do a one-off or two-off type season in Arizona. Tom Brady found this in Tampa. You see Sam Darnold, Daniel Jones, they're going to these teams, you know, that maybe were kind of okay, and now look at their, you know, maybe elevating these teams. Arizona has the tools. Like, they're even injured on offense, and look at how good it looks with functional it looks with Jacoby Brissett. Their defense is really stout. They're in all of these games. If you're, I know Matthew Stafford might retire at the end of the year. Who knows? He's got all these back issues. He had to get an epidural before the season. But someone like that who's trying to do this last ride thing with a team, I think Arizona is a perfect landing spot.
I mean, you need somebody with a big arm who'll throw downfield. Can I sell you Joe Flacco to Arizona? Let's go.
Yeah.
I mean, where do old people go to retire? Arizona. Joe Flacco, welcome aboard. Here's some red pants. He's perfect. No, I understand what you're saying.
Does Joe Flacco do NFC teams? I think he only does AFC teams.
He did the Eagles.
Did the whole division, the AFC
North. He's done most of the league.
I don't think he does the NFC. This would be a whole new thing for him.
Well, he's done the Eagles, yeah.
Oh, but he didn't really start games.
No. Basically, Joe Flacco is doing a tour of the entire NFL right now. I think he's got about five more years, five more teams. But who is, I love this exercise, actually. Well, while we do the update, who's the next Sam Darnold? Who's the next Daniel Jones? Sort of a high draft pick who didn't work out, Baker Mayfield, but has a second life in him. I think the best
maybe
way to do
Mac
it.
Maybe it's Mac Jones.
He sort of already has a second. I mean, he's already a Pro Bowl quarterback in San Francisco. He's already proven, but that might be a good one. Mac Jones in Arizona? Oh, that is not what you... does that answer your... Is that the next Matthew Stafford? That doesn't feel
No, it's not the next Matthew Stafford, but how about this? Who's from Arizona would be a nice little homecoming for a quarterback, but I don't know if they could do it.
Who's from Arizona? Kyle Allen? I don't know. Who are we talking about?
Brock Purdy. Gilbert, Arizona.
Brock Purdy is in a four-year, $50 million per year contract with San Francisco.
I know. But
and by the way, I thought we were going to get like a Sam Darnold, Daniel Jones, 6'5", gutter who can run all over the place. Brock Purdy, if he leaves Kyle Shanahan to go to Arizona, that does not sound promising to me.
No, I'm thinking Shanahan's like, I can do this with Mac Jones. I can do this with someone else.
And well, I know.
Try to sell him on a blockbuster trade.
Shanahan could do it.
Yeah, right.
Brock Purdy can't do it.
No,
that's what I'm saying.
Purdy's not going to ask for a trade. It's not a perfect fit. There is no Sam Darnold, Daniel Jones see.
There's got to be a guy out there.
Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, I thought you were Russell Wilson.
No, you can't.
No. It's got to be a guy. It's
2 years ago, maybe.
The formula's got to be a top 10 pick whose big arm has all the physical skills but did not work out in his first place. Kind of like...
Yeah, I saw you have Justin Fields, who's already failed with the Jets.
You cannot.
Damn it. Can't get rid of these New York Capitals.
All right. While we think about that, and I maintain Arizona is a sleeping giant. It's a weird thing that's going on with the quarterback situation now. My prediction, we do not see Kyler Murray for the rest of the season. He's gone. I hope he goes and plays baseball.
I got one. Big arm. He was on a team that does not develop quarterbacks. He likes to date older women.
Zach Wilson.
You gotta be kidding me.
Why not? What if I told you 10 years ago Sam Darnold was going to be in the MVP race in Seattle?
He can't beat out Andrew Bogish for the second string of the Miami
Quinn
Dolphins.
Ewers.
He's hurt.
Just looks like Andrew Bogish. Good segue. Bogish out sick today, so Pete McCarthy stepping in on short notice. Pete, thanks so much. What do you think about Kyler? Pete's a huge baseball guy, by the way. Pete, you do it all. But what do you think about Kyler Murray going back to baseball?
You know, there was a somewhat recent NFL first round pick quarterback who did try to transition to baseball. I didn't hear y'all mention him. One Tim Tebow.
Oh.
yeah. EJ's got it. The lefty. Didn't quite work out. Didn't make it out of AAA. Wow. This is the thing. Baseball, so Kyler Murray's now 28 years old. He hasn't really played in almost 10 years, right? He was drafted in 2018, so looking at 7 years now. If you don't hit for that long, there's not a lot of guys that have done it.
So what about MLB The Show? What if he's playing video games? MLB
I think
video games.
That's the way to do it. Yeah. It's worked out. A lot Tim of the Tebow, pitchers the say Bingham they use it for scouting, right? Jazz Chisholm is a big MLB The Show guy. So if that's a game Kyler's playing, maybe it'll work out for him. But if you don't hit, it's hard. I mean, Rick Ankiel is a guy who was a pitcher for a while and was able to transition to hitting, but not hitting for 5+ years and then trying to hit major league pitching, they usually who's pretty
more,
tough to do.
You know, who's more popular in Buffalo, in Binghamton, by the way, Tim Tebow or Maggie Gray?
Oh, Tebow's got me by a gajillion. I don't perform miracles. But here's the thing. I think that Call of Duty actually improves your hand-eye. I've heard that.
Yeah. What are you, a teenager trying to tell your parents I need more time
on
that?
No, I believe that. I believe that. I wholeheartedly believe that.
Maggie's trying to get a spot on X-Clan, the Phase X or Phase Clan, whatever they call that.
Phase Clan, yes.
Yeah, Phase Clan. There you go.
Yeah, that's going to be my second career. When you guys see me pop up on Prize Picks and you're like, Maggie Gray, 20 maps and kills, you're going to be like, wow, Max.
Yeah, we're going to be able to put that together with Bronny James. 7'10 KD.
You don't see a lot of 40-year-old women taking up video games, but I think I'm going to buck that trend.
I mean, Kyler Murray is going to go to the Phase Clan. That's what we should
have been.
I think he's on the team.
Is he? Juju are on the team. I know Juju did Bronny. A year with that crew.
Bronny, I think, is also part of the FaZe Clan.
Many do that. Bronny may want to do that full time. He got dunked on by Wimby last night, and I'm like,
yeah, why'd he jump?
Pick up the controller, buddy.
Listen, a lot of people get dunked on by Wimby. But meanwhile, let's get to Pete McCarthy.
Chinese Bronny.
Who's got the latest with us? What's up, Pete?
Yeah, Maggie, you mentioned Prize Picks. Download Prize Picks, use code PRIMETIME, and get a $50 bonus credit instantly when you play $5. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details. Did you guys hear J.J. McCarthy is rocking an alter ego these days? You know, things weren't looking that great for him recently. He had missed 6 games with a sprained ankle. Of course, it didn't look all that great in the game that he got hurt against the Falcons, led the Vikings to only 6 points there. Carson Wentz had taken over at quarterback, but he mean-mugged his way to a redemptive story arc, winning over the Lions in Detroit this past week. And the usually smiley McCarthy shared that his alter ego, he calls it 9, his jersey number.
9 comes out, and I got to understand, like, okay, he can't be at his peak performance throughout 3.5 hours. So how do I find little ways, you know, on the sideline, you know, get back to my breath, get back to my visualization that could kind of maintain that intense, you know, competitive stamina throughout the whole game.
And McCarthy shared the origin story of his alter ego 9.
It came about last year during IR, you know, just never had a full season where, you know, you want to be out there so freaking bad, but you can't. It was just this built up anger that was kind of ready to just explode. And I chose to harness it instead of letting it go into, you know, a self-destructive kind of way.
Barf.
Are we feeling this? Are we feeling 9?
No. Okay. No. You know what this reminds me of?
Mr. Unlimited.
Get out of here, man.
You know, it's a little new agey and it's a little whatever, but if it works for him, cool. But you know what it reminds me of, Pearl?
What's
Do you remember
that?
Back in the day, we all had AIM screen names?
AIM. Oh, yeah.
AIM,
of course.
Whatever. Yeah. We all had AOL names when chat first became popular. And like, if you ask people, what was your screen name? It's usually something pretty embarrassing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, back then. The Handler 3 over here.
What were you?
The Handler 3.
The Handler, right.
Awesome.
What was yours?
I think I had a normal one, but I remember also you had no idea that eventually people could read these and you would write whatever was on your mind in there.
I was like, Gray Girl. You come up with something really silly. And it's almost, I think when in 10 years or 5 years, when J.J. McCarthy gets reminded that he had an alter ego that he called 9, it's going to be cringy. Like when you remember your AIM screen name.
Yeah. I'm not going to share my AIM screen name, but I will share that my PSN, I made it when I was, you know, 12 years old when I was playing PlayStation. Station, so you know, money kid doesn't really apply when you're damn near
money
old
kid.
Now. Yeah.
Man, he's 420 triple X.
Yeah, 69.
About that money,
of course. Yeah,
yeah, yes. Yeah,
some of the alter egos age okay, right? Like Kobe called himself Black Mamba.
Yeah,
that's true.
And it was kind of lame when he started doing it, but now people talk about it nicely, right?
Yeah,
Deion
mentality.
Sanders with Prime Time. I mean, there are some that have some cachet.
Well, there's something in common between Kobe and Deion Sanders, Pete.
You're saying
really
J.J.
Awesome.
McCarthy.
J.J. McCarthy better really live up to a Kobe Deion Sanders level.
But and Pearl, not Russell Wilson, Mr. Unlimited.
Well, at least Ross is probably going to the Hall of Fame. But Pearl, you have a big issue about guys who give themselves nicknames.
Oh, you can't give yourself a nickname. Yeah, exactly. That's a good point.
Is that right, McLovin?
I don't like anyone who declares. We had a related debate. Somebody declared they were an all-timer or something the other day, and I was like, you can't declare.
The
doctor's saying Kike, they're a dynasty.
Kike said they're a dynasty. Yeah,
other people give you names and declare you things. Unless Deion Sanders, of course, is an exception because he's obviously better at doing that than anybody else, so he has to give himself a name. And you're right. Pete brought up a good point. Kobe worked, but generally, I am not a fan of that. J.J. McCarthy, I feel like he's going to play 12 years in the NFL, and we're going to have no idea if he's any good. I don't know what it is with that dude. He defies all description. I mean, he won a national title and didn't even throw a pass. He is just such an odd person. I had no idea he had this personality, this alter ego. If you tell me what quarterback's going to give himself a new nickname, I wouldn't have guessed J.J. McCarthy in a million years.
You know what? It might track, though. He likes to put, like, Latin phrases on social media.
Well, that's a Harbaugh effect, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
I actually didn't know that. He puts Latin phrases on social media. Yeah. So there's a lot going on there. I didn't know this man was an onion.
You know the meditation that he would do like by the goalpost? Pearl? Yeah. You saw this. He's like, is he barefoot? He's doing the meditation before these big games. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
In the locker room now because he said it was kind of distracting.
About J.J. giving himself a nickname, but I feel like most quarterbacks who do it, it doesn't really work. Like Mr. Unlimited didn't work. I think of Kirk Cochain. I think of guys who are kind of like okay, but not great.
Like Red Rifle, though, that was fun. Andy Dalton didn't give himself that nickname.
Another guy, not good, not great. Like J.J. McCarthy's a first round pick. The hope is he wins the Super Bowl eventually for the franchise he went to. It just strikes me that, you're probably going to be maybe good, but not great. Which is what a lot of people think about J.J. McCarthy, to be honest.
Kirk Cousins didn't give himself that nickname, did he?
No, it's not even about giving yourself a nickname, but a quarterback even having like a nickname is just weird. There aren't too many who do.
Well, yeah, Mahomes.
Kind of, like, ironic.
Remember how hard it was to come up with a Mahomes nickname? We did that a lot. Did we ever settle on one?
He's called like the one Dad Bod, Fat Dad. From Football Reference.
Patrick is crazy.
Yeah, Fatrick. Patrick Mahomes. But there was diabolical.
There was a long time where the national media was actively trying to find a nickname for this guy.
Mahomie. You don't remember that?
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomie?
I'm trying to forget it.
What is his nickname? If you go to Sports Reference.
Patrick.
Patrick on Sports Reference.
That's where I found that. Patrick is crazy.
It's nuts.
Patrick is crazy.
Oh, Showtime. Right. Remember
Showtime. That's Shohei Ohtani.
No, but remember Mahomes was trying to push Showtime. You guys don't remember. It was like 2022.
Definitely not.
That was a big deal.
Well, that bodes well for McCarthy then. If he plays well enough, we'll all forget about nine.
It's like Maple Mamba. Like, I don't think anybody remembers that for R.J. Barrett.
Does he spell it nine, or is it some kind of weird spelling, like if Cam Newton was trying to spell nine?
He's got a Y in there.
Right. Yeah, there it is.
Z is silent.
My favorite Maple one was Mapletron. Remember, there was Chase Claypool was Mapletron, yes, like Megatron, and then he had one good year in Pittsburgh. Or where was his good year? Yeah.
Yeah.
Or Notre Dame. I thought I wasn't even in the NFL.
He had one good year in the NFL and got traded for a second round pick.
Oh, I did remember that trade, that Bears trade off.
Maple Jordan.
That was
Andrew Wiggins.
Yes.
Air Canada was the good one for Vince Carter.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Mapletron is undefeated. That's pretty good.
Maple Mamba is also pretty good.
All right, look at what you started. We got down the road now. We absolutely love that story.
But
now we got to take a break. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you again next hour. Coming up next, we will get into the Dallas Cowboys because Quinnen Williams had some interesting things to say as he was introduced as the latest Cowboy. So what would be considered a successful season now for Dallas?
Listen, thank you.
3-5-1, but just added a major piece on the defensive line. 888-710-4ISN. It's the Maggie and Pearl Off Show.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Maggie and Pearl Love Show. Let's get to the Dallas Cowboys, Pearl, because obviously new Cowboy Quinnen Williams in the facility yesterday to meet everybody and talk about his new team. So, Manny, let's hear some Quinnen Williams. How about cut 10, please? Quinnen talking about his skill set and how it helps the Cowboys run defense.
Listen, thank you.
I hang my hat on being disruptive, being dominant, and rushing the passer. And also this year, man, I've been taking a step forward and stopping the run, man. I know I've been reading a lot of stuff and seeing a lot of stuff on Dallas on stopping the run, man. So having the opportunity to come here and help those guys out of that and just help turn this thing around when it comes down to that point is going to be unbelievable for me.
Yeah, and take what you will from like PFF rankings, Pearl, and the analytics, or you can go eye test. Quinnen Williams is a really good run stopper. You know, you're not going to see sack totals that are going to be huge, but his impact is clearly on the interior. Here's more from Williams acknowledging that Micah Parsons, obviously fantastic defensive player for Dallas, and he thinks he can have a similar type of impact the way Parsons helped the defense.
Micah Parsons is a phenomenal player. Like, he can do things where I'll dream about doing, especially come down to rushing the passer, man. But we're totally different players, man, in that aspect, man. I'm more interior presence, interior push, physical, strong, and a good interior pass rusher. I'm just here to do my job the best of my ability and be a difference maker from the interior standpoint.
Yeah.
Micah Parsons.
But, Maggie, yes. I want to challenge one thing you said.
Sure.
He had 12 sacks in 2022.
Yeah, that was kind of a standout, was it not?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, but
anomaly, if you will. But that also was a really good defense.
Yeah.
So much to the point where Aaron Rodgers was like, "Ooh, I can win there."
Right, but my point is, his value is part like, I think if you're going to talk about the top defensive tackles, they do get to the quarterback. I'm thinking obviously Jalen Carter, Aaron Donald.
Yeah.
So he has that ability. So my question, when you look at those numbers, has there been a decline?
Well, it's hard to tell, I think, with the Jets because they've taken such a colossal step back with the defense. And I think, EJ, you're the Jets fan here. I mean, how do you explain Quinnen Williams and his production going down? But here's the thing. I just want to make clear. The PFF and the nerd numbers don't see a decline. He's still top quartile, what do we say? Like top in the 90th percentile of awesome run stoppers.
Go ahead. I mean, run stopping, the PFF, I think he's number one.
Yeah, literally.
And in pass grade, I think he's kind of average, which is what I feel like I've seen. Now, it's always tricky because he had that big sack year, and it feels like you see offensive lines try to take away his pass rush a lot more. And the Jets, even though they've had, you know, renowned pass rushers, they haven't really been able to get after the passer. So it's kind of that question of, is it him? Like, is he not making enough plays, or is it just because the teams are taking him away and they're just having to make other people pay? They don't make them adjust. He's going to a team, he mentioned yesterday, that he feels like the Cowboys have a defensive line that he's excited to play for. He called them loaded. So I don't know if, like, Fowler and these other guys are going to be able to free him up a little more, but I would have the same concerns. Like, I don't look at the Cowboys defensive line and say, oh, you know what, they're not going to be able to double team Quinnen Williams. I think that's going to be plan A, B, and C if you're playing the Cowboys. Maybe that opens things up for other guys, but I don't know if you're getting 10 sack or 11 sack Quinnen Williams like you had a couple years ago.
No, but obviously the Cowboys defensive line has to get a little healthier too. And that's why I don't think this trade was about this season. I think it's actually setting up for next year. But the other thing about Williams is, you know, the defense, like, I remember when I worked with Bart Scott, he used to always say, the best thing you can do for your defense is have a competent offense. You know, it's like if you're down two scores, a score, teams don't have to throw the ball. Like, you're not getting all these great opportunities to rack up all these sack numbers.
So you're talking about the Jets situation, not the Cowboys.
No, the Cowboys are awesome.
So that could help Quinnen Williams. Now, the problem with the Cowboys is their defensive line actually has been okay. They've generated pressure. It's once you get to the next level of the defense, it's been a free-for-all. So that's the other problem, too. And tackling has been a problem at the next level.
Okay, Pearl, can I ask you a
question? So he has a lot of work to do. That's all I'm saying for Quinnen.
Yeah, and I think this season is, I don't say it's a wrap, it's a wash.
Yeah,
but
why are you doing a trade deadline deal if this season is out of touch?
Because the Jets hung the for sale sign out. And if you want Quinnen Williams, who's only going to be, what do we say, 28 in December, he's still in his prime. Sometimes you got to make the move, even when it's not the ideal circumstance. Maybe, you make it at the trade deadline. It doesn't necessarily mean it has to be for this playoff push. But I ask you, Pearl, what now would be considered a successful season this year? Because I've got my idea.
For the Jets or the Cowboys?
For the Cowboys.
I mean, successful. Successful season would be making the playoffs, even though they're 3-5-1. Anything short of that is either neutral or bad. What would you consider a successful season?
I just think at this point, you have to see that defense just get a lot better. And this is, to me, all setting up for next year.
I don't understand. First of all, by the way, you know that they're going to, if Quinnen Williams looks good, they're going to have to pay him. That's why his value is not a first-round pick and a second-round pick, because he's only got, 2 years left on his deal at a reasonable cost. So I don't think the rest of the league is trading that much for an asset that you have to pay. That's the one thing teams don't want. I don't. We're talking about the Cowboys with Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb, and now Quinnen Williams and Trayvon Diggs and all these stars, and you just want to see improvement. That's sad.
Well, 3-5-1. I mean, I'm just trying to be a little bit realistic here. Like, you know, I just don't think that you got this. I don't think you traded for Quinnen Williams with the idea of look out, Philadelphia. You know, we're coming for you. I don't think that's what this is. I think it was, let's make sure that we don't waste another 2 years of Dak Prescott, like we're clearly wasting this year of Dak Prescott. And listen, is there like a bit of a chasing after the Micah Parsons trade and trying to make up for it? Totally. But I don't know. Is that such a bad thing? Like, you know, you made him, my opinion, they made a mistake with trading away Parsons.
Yeah.
And now you're trying to chase it. And at least they're trying to do something and be proactive. Isn't that what you always want your GM to do?
No, I don't want them to go this way about it. I want them to draft, like Howie Roseman drafted, Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter for the defensive line. Because you get 4 to 5 years of cost certainty for a good player. I want to build that position through the draft. Be honest, I want to put my money elsewhere.
Okay,
it's a financial thing. That's why, and I'm not alone on this. People were like, well, I don't know about this Quinnen Williams deal because you just added another peak expensive player who's going to be on the decline soon.
Well, you say soon. I think these interior defensive tackles, I think, actually can play into their mid-30s. So I think you're getting a lot. And the other part of this is, yeah, the Eagles drafted Jalen Carter. They took advantage of a guy whose draft stock was plummeting and got a bad character dude to come in, and he's played great. Like, not everyone can bank on that. The Cowboys are getting a sure thing in Quinnen Williams. That's what I think. Okay, so much more to do. Don't move.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.